115, the wonderful cross. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you all today. A nice, cool morning. Some got moisture. I guess some didn't. We praise the Lord for the day that He has made, and we trust Him for those right amounts, and thank God for what He has given. So welcome to our worship service today. I have some announcements to go over first before we continue on. First, just a big thanks again in regards to the kitchen countertops, and they're beautiful. Two out of the three sinks are in, so we praise the Lord for that, and thanks for all who have helped big time on making this happen. The banquet, which is down in Yankton, it is our church's turn to serve that this Thursday evening. Most of the needs are covered. We do have a few more needs of people that would come and actually be there. This year we get to do that. You never did get a call back, I'm assuming. Okay. The last 2 years we've just gave money for the meal, but this year we get to be there and prepare it and serve it, which is always a blessing to do. There is an offering plate, a separate offering plate in the back if you want to give towards the expense of the meal. That's what that is about. But that's this Thursday. If you had signed up to bring hamburger, make sure that you have that here before Wednesday of this week. don't bring it Wednesday still frozen, okay? Because they're going to prepare the lasagna on Wednesday afternoon, so it needs to be thawed. You could bring it Tuesday. We'll be here, of course. Or if you have it today, that's fine. So we're excited to be able to do that. We do have communion, the Lord's Supper, today during our service, which is wonderful. We have open communion. And so if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are invited to partake of that when that happens. I would just want to mention we have several new floral arrangements here this morning, so I'll make mention of those. These two here on my left were given by the family of Elton Lair. His funeral service was yesterday at Grace Lutheran. The white arrangement, first to my right, was given in memory of Myron Melhoff. His funeral was this last Monday. That's Brian's dad. And the last one over, I'll go to that one. That is given in memory of Joanne Burnt. Joanne was Donna Sattler's sister-in-law, and her funeral was this last Thursday. The one in the middle there, the red and white roses, those are given by Brian and Cindy Herbold. Their son Adam, today would have been his 30th birthday. So, of course, he only got to live 20 days on this earth, but we will be excited to see him in heaven. Hard to believe that was 30 years ago. Our prayers still with you and all of these who've had loved ones go home to heaven. We certainly miss them. The rest of the announcements I will let you read later. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, we say thank you for the cross. Lord, that's the instrument that you chose for our Lord and Savior to hang upon, to take our sins upon himself, to suffer your wrath that should have been ours, Lord God. Jesus, thank you for hanging there in our place. As we sing about the cross and all that took place there, the verse of that song, "Were the whole realm of nature mine," that would be an offering far too small for what you have done for us. For your love is so amazing and so divine, and it does require our soul, our life, our very all, and we give ourselves to you. We give ourselves to you this day as we present our bodies before you as a living sacrifice, a sacrifice of surrender. And let it be so today, Jesus, as we proclaim all that you have done for us during our time of worship and as we come to this table that you have prepared for us. We worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for filling this sanctuary with your power and your presence and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 12. Number 12. Let's stand as we sing that together. Praise him, praise him. Love. Praise Him in joyful song with all of our hearts. Please greet those around you before you're seated. Good morning. How are you? Good morning. Okay, we will have our time of sharing of joys and concerns. Just several families to pray for. There's been a lot of funerals in the community here this last week. I mentioned some of the flowers, but certainly Joanne Burnt, Elton Lair's family, Sadie Fryer's, that's Tim Fryer's grandmother, Alice Eisenbry. Her funeral was yesterday morning in Freeman. Myron Melhoff's family, Shelley Hoffman. Don't know that name, you probably don't, but this would be Erica Haas's mother-in-law. Erica, her married name is Hoffman. Shelley had pancreatic cancer and passed away a week ago at just 62 years of age. So lots of prayers for all of these families. Continued prayers for Bill Headley. He seems to be coming along little by little. I saw him on Thursday morning. My dad got to go back to assisted living on Monday, so we thank the Lord for that. Kaylin Salas, the girl from Freeman who had her 14th birthday yesterday with the liver transplant down there in St. Louis area. So she's coming along to this baby Evelyn. I really don't have an update on her. Hopefully no news is good news. Okay, thank you. She is stable. They continue to run tests and work with her, thank goodness. They're thinking maybe Thanksgiving or Christmas before she could come out of the hospital. This is the little baby that was born, not even quite a pound. So we continue to pray for her. Steve Pressler is going to have shoulder replacement surgery on Wednesday. Coming. Yeah. Oh, repair. Sorry about that. I got that wrong. Shoulder repair. Okay. All right. Katie Huber's mom, Jan Nebelsek, she lives up in Alexandria and has had a reoccurrence of cancer, unfortunately, in the pelvic area. So they have been still doing some testing and figuring out the treatment plan. So we're praying for her. Certainly, the community of Laurel, Nebraska, we hear about that tragic incident down there. We pray for those families. And the Mad Frogs are scheduled to play here at 11 o'clock this morning in Mitchell. I told them I was praying it would be a rain delay so it wouldn't be such an early game on Sunday morning. Anyway, okay. If they would have been up at Brandon, I think it would have been rain delayed. I heard they had 5 to 7 inches there. So, anything else over here? Steve. Yeah, and continued prayers for the people of Kentucky. They had major, major flooding down there and a lot of loss of life. Okay, over here. Over here? Yes, Ashley. Oh, okay. Family friends of Ashley Holsworth from her growing up years, there was a newborn baby, but there was an umbilical cord incident. The baby did not make it. Sorry to hear that. Okay. Okay, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne for this time as we pause, Lord, as a family of believers here together to lift our joys and our requests and concerns up to you, we pray for this family, Lord, that Ashley just spoke of You know them by name. You know who they are and how difficult that has to be. Father, we pray for them. Just ask that you hold them close in your everlasting arms, Lord Jesus. During this time, we know that this little one is in heaven with you. As we think of Brian and Cindy and their little one Adam, too, who just had 20 days on this earth. Father, we ask that you comfort this family and all of these that I mentioned who have lost loved ones in the past week, week and a half. We thank you for your word and the promises of eternal life that come to us through Christ alone. Lord, we do say thank you for the rain so much. We praise you for it and trust that this sort of primes the pump, so to speak. We pray for the people of Kentucky who have had an overabundance of it. Be with them as they try and clean up from all the destruction of it and those that suffered from loss of life. Lord, we pray for these families in the community of Laurel, Nebraska, and those four tragic deaths down there that you know the details of it, Lord. We don't, but it certainly does not sound good. Father, we need your help in this world, on this earth. We need the outpouring of your Spirit, the revival, to open the eyes of the understanding of the nation, Jesus, to know that you are life and you are the way and the truth and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through you. I pray, Lord, for Bill Headley and certainly Judy as his caregiver in many ways, just to continue. I ask to renew Bill's strength as he goes through the therapy and dialysis and healing of the broken leg there. Thank you for working in his life and my dad's life that he was able to come back to the assisted living. Lord, for Kaylin Salas, as she continues to improve after the liver transplant from this little baby Evelyn, that we thank you that she's stable and be with the doctors and nurses and all that work with her and those little ones up at the Sanford Children's Hospital. We pray for Katie Huber's mom, Jan Nebelsek, as she awaits the decisions and direction for treatment here with this reoccurrence of cancer. We ask for healing, Lord, throughout her body. She's been through a lot in recent and past years, and we just pray for strength to her and her husband and the family as they walk through this time together. Thank you, Lord, for Steve Pressler as he goes in for a shoulder repair surgery this Wednesday. We trust that that will go well and recovery time will go well for him. Lord, for the Mad Frogs, we do lift them up here as they play at 11 o'clock, scheduled anyway, and help them to do their very best, Lord. So we pray for our nation, we also pray for our troops. We thank you for their faithfulness to serve day in and day out. Bless them, keep them safe. Be with the families that are separated from loved ones serving in the military. Lord, as we pray for them, we pray for our first responders here in our community and all around. Lord, as most of them are volunteers in the fire department, the EMTs, whatever it might be, keep them safe, and we thank you for their service as well. We thank you for all these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read from Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. This is a very short verse, but Paul was there in the region of Galatia. These Judaizers, we call them, were coming in and saying, well, the only way to truly be saved is you still have to be circumcised in the flesh, which was not true. And they were coming after Paul. And Paul, this was his answer. Finally, let no one cause me any more trouble, for I bear on my body the marks, one translation says the scars, I bear on my body the scars of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing the doxology together, please. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him. Father, as we bring our offerings, our tithes into your storehouse, as we place them in the box there at the back, Lord, we know it's not just a box that we're dropping money into. It's sowing into your kingdom for the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news through this local church, through the families and homes within this congregation, but certainly to this community and region and far beyond, that the message continues to be proclaimed that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And what a joy it is to live for you and serve you, and thank you for the strength that you give to us each and every day to even have a job to go to. Lord, we rejoice in you and your goodness and your provision in so many ways, in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. The children can come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Thank you. Well, good morning, boys and girls. It's good to see you all. I missed you again. Well, today we're going to talk about scars. You know, scars? What are scars? They're on our body after we, you know, fall down maybe and you scrape up, you cut your leg or your elbow, and then your skin heals together and sometimes it leaves a scar. And I'm going to show you my scar. See this scar right here? That's a scar. That's a scar, though, from the, I had to have a bump was on there. And that bump had to be taken out by the doctor. So then they had to cut, you know, and then they sewed it up. And that is my scar. Do any of you have any scars? Seriously, no scars? Can you show it? Is it on your arm? What happened?
No clue.
No clue? Okay. That's probably the best scar to not know. Anybody else? Did you? Yeah. I think they're just shy. You have one on your knee? Oh, what's that from?
I don't know.
You don't know either. Okay, well, sometimes, you know, we go along in our life and we fall down and we get back up, and sometimes we have a scrape, sometimes we don't. But those are scars, and maybe some of us have, you know, I actually have a few more scars. Do you remember, you know, kind of like I broke my collarbone, remember, and then my leg? Yeah, I have scars, more scars. So anyhow, we get them from falling, from accidents, from surgeries. Have any of you ever had stitches? You have. So you probably have a scar from that, maybe. Some other people have, too. Well, do you know one thing I'm really happy about? Do you know what I'm happy about? In heaven, we aren't going to have any scars. Now, think about that. When we go to heaven, when Jesus comes and takes us to heaven, or we die and we go to heaven, we aren't going to have any scars. Isn't that pretty cool? And that also means if we don't have any scars, what else won't we have in heaven? No scabs, too. And to get those scabs, you have to fall, so there won't be any falls. There won't be any accidents. There won't be anybody sick. There is no COVID in heaven. Amen? Amen. There won't be any dying in heaven. We're going to have new bodies. Isn't that exciting? That's like that little baby. It makes us really sad, and that is something that is really hard. But that baby is in heaven, and that baby's alive and well and running around, and or maybe not because it's a baby, but these things. So that is really exciting. But, you know, and what other things that are in heaven, if it's so beautiful Everything is beautiful. You know, like we go to places here and we think things are beautiful. It's even more beautiful there. And Jesus said, when I go up there, I'm going to make a room. There are lots of rooms for us. And I'm going to make you a room that when you come, it'll be ready. We're going to have a room. Isn't that exciting? And you know what? The most wonderful thing, though, about heaven. Can you guess? Who's there? Jesus. God in Jesus. Jesus is there, and that is the best thing ever. The best thing ever. And like I said, we aren't going to have any scars, but who has scars that's in heaven? Who did Jesus tell me? Jesus. Jesus has scars. Because what happened to him when he was on earth? He got nailed to the cross. So he has scars somewhere on his hand here and on his feet, right? And that's today, Pastor Mike said, we're going to celebrate communion. And that is what we remember, what Jesus did for us. He died for us so that we wouldn't have to die and pay for our sins. He paid for our sins, right? Yes, he died for us. He was beaten for us, it says in the Bible, so that we could be healed. And sometimes we're healed here on earth. If we're not, we are healed in heaven, like I said. No scars, no nothing bad in heaven. All good, and Jesus is there. But he's going to have scars. And that's today we remember what he did for us. And when we get to see him, won't that be awesome? To see his scars? Because to know that he loves each one of us, each one of you, and everyone, and he died for us, right? So when your parents take communion, and we have a little quiet time, just like you're quiet now, you all are so quiet, you can do that too during that time, and you can be thanking God for sending Jesus, right? For it to be our Savior. So let's say that. Say, thank you, God. One more time. Thank you, God. For sending Jesus. Now let's say John 3:16 together. I know a lot of you know that. So ready? Go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life or eternal life. Amen. So that's what we think about today when we're having communion, okay? All right, let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We're so grateful, God, for sending Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful gift you've given us. And I just pray these boys and girls that you just, Holy Spirit, speak to them and let them know you even more. And let them go out this week and be a blessing and be kind to others. And just remember that you died for them and that you want us to share you with others. So help them to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, now I do have a few pencils to give you because, you know, I know school's coming up and I know we're excited or we're not, but just take two pencils because we always need pencils, right? They're just take two. Here, I'll give you two and then go get your papers. Okay, Pastor Mike has them too. Here you go. You can always use a new pencil, right? Okay. Yes, you need them for preschool, probably.
Thank you, Anne. And we have a special song this morning Jay and Cheryl are going to do for us called Scars in Heaven. If you listen to Christian radio, you've probably heard it. It's a beautiful song.
If I had only known the last time would be the last time, I would have put off all the things I had to do. I would have stayed a little longer, held on a little tighter. Now what I'd give for one more day with you. Cause there's a wound here in my heart where something's missing. And they tell me that it's gonna heal with time. But I know you're in a place where all your wounds have been erased. And knowing yours are healed is healing mine. The only scars in heaven that won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now. I know the road you walked was anything but easy. You picked up your share of scars along the way. Oh, but now you're standing in the sun. You fought your fight and your race is run. Your pain is all a million miles away. The only scars in heaven, they won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now. Hallelujah, 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 for the hands that hold you now. There's not a day goes by that I don't see you. You live on in all the better parts of me. Until I'm standing with you in the sun, I'll fight, this race I'll run, until I finally see what you can see. Oh, the only scars in heaven, they won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now.
Amen. It's a serious song, but we can clap. Yeah, beautiful. Thank you, Jay and Cheryl. Beautiful, beautiful song. Very touching words, without a doubt. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, as we sit here, certainly loved ones who've gone home to be with you all come to mind. And we're thankful, Jesus, for the cross. For those that know you, that has made it all possible. And as we know you, Jesus, we know we can see them again. And we look forward to that day. And until then, help us to live for you on this earth each and every day. Father, thank you for your word, that you instruct us how to live for you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit living within us, through which you give us power to live for you. And Father, I ask that you would speak through me by the Spirit of the living God to those gathered here this day. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 22, read a couple verses, and then I'm going to jump over to verse 32. This is actually on the day of Pentecost. We've been looking at the Holy Spirit this summer. This isn't so much in that vein, but it is on that day when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And this is Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. It starts there in verse 14 and goes nearly to the end of the chapter. So I'm just going to read a part of it that I want to look at this morning. So Acts 2, verse 22, as Peter is preaching. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God, amen, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. I'm jumping over to verse 32, still on in Peter's sermon. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. There you see the Trinity right there in action in that verse. Verse 34, for David did not ascend to heaven, yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord. Just a second on that, because I'm not preaching on that verse. Right? When in this goes back to Psalms. The Lord, that's God Almighty, said to my Lord, that's Jesus, Jehovah, God, right there in that verse, 1,000 years before Jesus was ever born in Bethlehem. The Lord God said to my Lord, Jesus, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Amen. God's word. We have to remember when Jesus appeared to Thomas, which was a week later after the resurrection day, because the night of resurrection day, when the disciples were gathered in that room behind closed doors, Thomas wasn't there. And they went and told him later, remember what he said, unless I see the marks on his hands, and unless I can put my hand in his side, I will not believe. And Jesus waited a whole week later till they were gathered together again, and Thomas was there that time, waited a week to appear to them again, and that is what he called Thomas's attention to. If we'd read John 20, it talks about that. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." The second thing he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hands and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And of course, it goes on there. What was one of the proofs of Jesus' resurrection? It was the scars in his hand, wrist, wherever in there, his side, his feet, those wounds. God chose to leave them there for a reason. And here we see it in John 20 as proof of his resurrection. They were there then, they are there today. And so this song, a lot of times I'm sure, you know, it's not that old, not quite sure how, but it's more recent, and I've heard it at a couple funerals already. Beautiful song, very appropriate for that. But as I talked with Jay and Cheryl about it, I said, you know, it's very appropriate for this day too, as we come to the Lord's Supper. Think about, I want to just read the first line here. There's the natural application to the song. There's an application towards the Lord's Supper too, I believe. The first phrase, "If I had only known the last time would be the last time, I would have put off all the things that I had to do. I would have stayed a little longer, held on a little tighter. Now what I'd give for one more day with you." Now we've all been there, I imagine, on a natural sense. Maybe a spouse, maybe a parent, grandparent, maybe a child, a friend. "If I had only known the last time would be the last time." Sometimes we know that, it's getting close, sometimes we don't. But let's think about this with our relationship with Jesus Christ, that phrase. As we live on this earth, as we're told to examine our hearts in Scripture, we're told that before we come to the Lord's table. So many, they'll hear about Jesus and they just push him away on the side of unbelievers. "Nope, don't want to hear about him. Don't talk to me about him. Don't want to know about it." And then their life comes to an end without Christ. It's not good. Not good at all. Maybe they're saying in conversation in hell, "If only I had known that was going to be my last breath, I would have done something different." Because when a person gets to hell, they're going to know. They are going to know that Jesus Christ truly is who he says he is. And what he did. And that's part of the torment of hell, part of it, of knowing there was a way out. But what about somebody just living lukewarm? I'm sort of committed to Jesus, you know, but I just sort of want to live my life how I want to live it. And maybe when I get older, like I see some others, maybe then I'll get more serious with him and my walk with him and my relationship with him. It could apply to that. If I had only known the last time would be the last time. Because we do not know when our last breath will be. We think we do to a degree, but we don't. Not a one of us know. "I would have put off all the things I had to do." And what? "And raised my level of commitment to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." That's what I'm talking about as we examine ourselves as we live our lives. So because the focus of where I'm going on from here now and the focus of Scripture is on Jesus Christ as the crucified one, and the risen one. He is our crucified Lord, but thank God that's not the end of the story. He is the resurrected one. And we see that crucified and risen. Thomas had to come to believe this. He walked with him for 3.5 years every day. But yet he just couldn't see. All he could see past at the first was the cross. Even for a whole week, until he literally saw Jesus in the flesh and blood, unless I see him, unless I put my hands, my fingers in the wounds, the scars on his hands, and put my hand in his side. Remember, he was pierced there on the cross, right? The scar is still there to this day. When you go to heaven, you will see it. Unless I see, I will not believe. Thank God he saw it. But so crucified and risen, this was Jesus' message to the Apostle John. As God was giving him the book of Revelation, he was exiled as a prisoner, an elderly man, the only one of the 12 disciples that lived to an old age. And there he was, and he has these visions. John chapter 1, awesome chapter in Revelation, it is his vision of the risen, resurrected, glorified Christ. And what does Jesus say to him? Many things, but one, after it's described of Jesus' appearance, his eyes were as a flame of fire, his feet were like shiny brass, and on it goes. His countenance was brighter than the noonday sun. And then John says, and I fell at his feet as one that was dead. And Jesus put his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. And here's this verse, 18, Revelation chapter 1. What does he say to John? I am the living one. I was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I hold the keys of Hades, of death and Hades. Chapter 2, then it goes on, that seven messages to those seven churches. And each church, he introduces himself in a different way. Jesus does. To the church of Smyrna, chapter 2, verse 8, he says, to the angel of the church in Smyrna, write. These are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. That is the message of our faith. That is the message of the gospel. We should all know that very well. He is our crucified Lord. He is our resurrected and risen Lord. How about Peter's message? If you're following in your outline, Peter's message on the day of Pentecost, what I read. Not going to read that whole thing again, but three times in there, Peter proclaims this message to the thousands that were gathered there in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. He says this, this man was handed over to you. These were most all Jewish people. Remember, they were from all different nations, though, around at that time. Jewish people who had spread out around the world. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, planned from before the creation of the world. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. He's preaching this to them by the Holy Spirit of God. We jump over to verse 32 in the continuation of Peter's sermon. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of that fact. Verse 36, therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, who you crucified, both Lord and Christ. This was Peter, who 53 days earlier, on the night before the cross, couldn't even stand up before a servant girl to say that, yes, I am a follower of Jesus. Now he's filled with the Holy Spirit of God, preaching to thousands there that day. The message of the cross. What was their response? Point three, if you're filling in. Their response to the gospel message. What was it? When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? When Jesus is being preached, His life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. It brings people to a point of decision, to conviction. People will either say, bah, don't want to hear it. Or if they don't know him, they'll be like, what do I need to do? That's what was happening. They were cut to the heart. What shall we do? Cut to the heart. You know, it means to be convicted deeply, to pierce, to penetrate, like in the natural, like with a sharp instrument. Gah! Sometimes maybe somebody says something to you, just not even religiously talking, okay, but just in natural conversation. Somebody might say, we've all had this happen, I'm sure. Somebody might say something, and it's just like, ah, that hurts, doesn't it? And hopefully there have been times in our lives and still are times in our lives where either through the reading of Scripture on your own, where it's just like, oh, Lord, wow, I am sorry. I am missing it. I am sinning in when I read this. Forgive me. Or maybe a message you hear, whether it's here in church, on the radio, or TV, or wherever, somewhere else, that it's just like, ugh. That is the Holy Spirit of God. It's not me up here trying to go, ugh, like that. It is the Holy Spirit. So they were convicted deeply. Listen to what on this day, Acts chapter 2, when this is happening, this is the idea of these Jewish people. Certainly the religious leaders, but a lot of the Jewish people, because they were so led astray by their religious leaders, they're just going along complacently in their, excuse me, in their Judaism that had gotten so off track. Going along day by day, doing the things they've always done. Jesus came along. A lot of them are like, wow, wow, wow. But the Pharisees, Sadducees, all of them, they didn't care. They were so blinded, they could not see or even wouldn't see that this was God in the flesh. Going along, nor did they want their people to see that. They put him to death. They continue on with their lives. Now we are 50 days after his resurrection on the day of Pentecost, and Peter's preaching this sermon. And, oh, there goes the knife, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Wham, and they are cut to the heart. Why? What's happening? First, I think that they were feeling sorrow. They're listening to this. The Spirit of God is moving on that multitude there. Their eyes are being opened. They're like, this was our Messiah. This was him. We crucified him. What the Holy Spirit, what we've been seeing last Sunday and before, is he was opening their eyes to the Scriptures. Sorrow. Secondly, they're feeling this deep sense of guilt by the Holy Spirit that they had done it. Many of those were probably ones in the multitude yelling, crucify him! Yeah, crucify him! Yeah! And that mob thing that got going. Thirdly, in the midst of that conviction, all of a sudden the fear of God. They were afraid of God's wrath. The fear of God was coming upon them and within them. What have we done? We can't undo what we have already done. And so their question, brothers, what shall we do? They were desperate. And that's not a bad thing. Because now they were willing to listen to the message of Jesus Christ on that day. We say this sometimes, people have to get, so to speak, to the bottom of the barrel before they're ready to listen to the message of Jesus Christ. And it's sad that it has to come to that, to the bottom of the barrel, so to speak, because people could avoid so much trouble in their lives if they just turn. Because what was the answer? Brothers, what shall we do? Verse 37, 38. Repent. Peter says, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Repent, and you will receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. I'm going this way, just thinking life I can live on my own however I want to live it. And I don't care what you say, and don't tell me about it, because I don't want to hear it. Right? All of a sudden, sometimes people use the expression, you got to get hit over the head by the 2x4, with a 2x4. Bam! Something happens. And now God's got our attention. Hopefully, repentance is like, I am sorry, Lord. What am I doing? What am I doing with my life? What am I doing with my family, my friends, my body that I'm destroying through my choices? It's what when Jesus was calling him and he wasn't believing it at first, and he catches that boatload of fish and he realizes, you are the Messiah. He falls down on his knees before Jesus and says, depart from me, I am a sinful man. And Jesus says, no, I need you. I need you. Come and follow me. And so he does repent. One of the teachers that sometimes Bruce has had on video on Monday nights, John Barnett, a great teacher. I love the phrase. He says, no matter how many steps you've taken away from the cross, it is only one step back to the cross. Just one step back to Jesus. Forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Paul talked about scars on his body. I read that verse in the offering, before the offering. Finally, let no one cause me trouble. I said the Judaizers, they were still saying, no, you still got to be circumcised in the flesh or you're not truly saved. And the message of the gospel is, no, it's not about that. It's by faith alone in Jesus Christ. That's it, period. So he says, don't trouble me. I bear in my body the scars of Jesus Christ that show I belong to him. And that's a whole nother deal. He goes into those scars in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. All the torture he went through. Back to the chorus of that song as we close and prepare here soon for the Lord's Supper. The only scars in heaven, they won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken. Revelation 21 tells us that. And all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are the hands that hold you now. I love that chorus. It's a beautiful chorus. We celebrate Jesus, our crucified, resurrected, risen Lord. Amen. Amen. If the consistory would go to the back, those that are helping for communion, please. In the insert of your bulletin, there is a prayer of confession there. As we are commanded in Scripture to pray before we come to the Lord's table. If you get that ready, and we will pray that together now as we examine our own hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to the table that you have prepared for us this morning, we are truly humbled in your presence. As we examine our hearts before you, we are deeply convicted of our own sin. We are cut to the heart. Forgive us for the wrong things that we have said and done. Forgive us for thoughts and attitudes that are not pleasing unto you. Forgive us for bitterness and grudges that we may have held on to in our hearts and minds. We confess our sin to you, and we repent. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for forgiving us of our sin and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you for taking the wrath of God upon yourself as you hung there upon the cross. As the scriptures say, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. By faith we receive your salvation and the forgiveness of our sins. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen is right. If the consistory would come, please. For those who might be visiting, as I said in the announcements, if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are welcome to partake of the Lord's Supper with us today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time of our service. So very important, so very sacred, yet a time that we rejoice in because of all you have done for us. We thank you for this bread prepared, representing the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this juice and this wine prepared, representing the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask, Father, that you would sanctify these elements for this time and this purpose as we partake of them, holy signs and seals for us to see, so that by our use of them we might more fully understand the promises of your word. Let these elements bring nourishment spiritually, number one, but to every part of our being, spirit, soul, and body, as we think upon you, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. Distribute the elements. Hold the bread and we'll all take it together. If you'd like to sing along, we're going to sing number 49 from the Praise Book.
Before the world
above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known. Apostle Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for becoming sin for us in our place, taking the wrath of God upon yourself that should have been ours. We say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The innermost ring contains grape juice. The outer ring are the cups with wine, for whichever you prefer. We'll sing number 323, At the Cross.
At the cross.
same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's take the cup together, please. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood that you shed upon that cross. The blood that washes our sins away, that cleanses us and makes us white as snow. The blood of Jesus that you said, as far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our sins from us. And we thank you for that. As we go forth today, new, clean, and fresh, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you to the consistory for helping. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, our closing hymn is going to be number 366. We'll stand, I live, because he is risen. I live, because he is risen. I live with power over sin. I live, because he is risen. I live to worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because you're alive, because you're alive, because you're alive, I live. I live, because he is risen. I live, to power over sin. I live, because he is risen. I live to worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because you're alive. Because you're alive. Because you're alive. I live. Yes. Amen. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. We'll end with communion in our thoughts and minds today. We'll sing God Bless America next Sunday. I know you're all just waiting for that. Thought we would end with our focus on that today. So you may be seated. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Thank you, Cheryl, for the beautiful, beautiful music.